Welcome back. We trust you are ready to fire the pastor a lot of questions. And please, I beg you, send very difficult questions. I hope the pastor did not hear what I said. Okay, more questions coming in. Shalom, my pastor and beloved brother Olumide, and to the entire bride of Christ connected to this program. Please, sir, I have just cut off from a small group where we always came together for worship, and I happened to be the leader of the group after about 2 months of being together with the brethren. I noticed that the aim of us coming together was changed to solving of problems, looking for miracles by the brethren instead of the world. So I decided to cut off from the group and focus on worshiping online. And since from then, my spiritual life is more better than when I was with the brethren. The group has scattered and the said brethren wants me to come back, but I don't want to. Pastor, am I committing a sin? Am I committing any sin by my action of separating? And Brother Bernard from Cameroon.
No, when the Bible says we should contend for the faith, it means there will be attempts to distract us. Now, when you remain focused, every leader, spiritual leader, faces this kind of problem. I face it too. You know, attempts are being made, to turn the ministry to something else other than the purpose for the gathering.
Primary purpose.
So that's why we watch. We as leaders, we are watchmen.
Amen.
To always bring the people back. And one way it is of separation. There are several ways of separation. One of the ways is what you have done is to leave the group. But another way is the one I want to recommend for you, and I think in your own situation is a better way, better option, is that you use the word.
Okay.
Each time you come together, emphasize the need for the focus on the purpose that we've come together. And as you stay on it, those who came for a different motive will leave you. And then where the two of you that remain, you will remain together. Let the rest go. So if they say come back, then you now have opportunity to go back this time with more fire to tell them, well, this is the reason I stayed away. You people are this, you people are that, and this is why I thought we gathered. I will only be with you now if this is what our focus is. We are not just a welfare organization. We are a prayer group, a Bible study group. And so don't come here and burden us with welfare matters. We have not, if we belong somewhere, you can belong anywhere where you get your things matter. So when we come here, our welfare, head of our welfare is God. When we come here and pray and then and stop bothering, one another. If you stay focused, then God will back you up and keep you within the purpose that you gather.
Amen.
God bless you. Wow. So go back. Don't stay away.
Oh, thank you so much, sir. Okay. Shalom, Bride of Christ. I'm Sister Kelly from Cameroon. How can one actually confirm revelations if they're actually from God or not? What does it mean when one dreams and finds himself barefooted? I mean, without shoes. Shalom.
I don't like interpreting dreams online because I've been saying it, that what a particular dream means to one person,
it be different.
It may mean another to another person. So when you say, what does it mean? I cannot, and I am not a dream interpreter. I don't have, it's not my gift, so that people should not begin to turn me into a dream interpreter, because given this, now you hear calls, now people are telling me I'm always walking on my head. I am always pushing, what does it mean? I'm always eating gari, what does it mean? And things like that. But it is a personal.
Okay.
It's personal. I cannot come on air and tell you, this is what it means.
It means.
The first question is,
how can you confirm revelations if it is of God or of the devil?
If it comes to pass, it is of God.
Okay.
Because God cannot lie. And God watches over his word to perform it. If it doesn't come to pass, Deuteronomy 18 says that person has spoken
presumptuously.
Let's see the scripture, Deuteronomy 18. Let's see it in the scriptures. Verse 21.
Okay. And if thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken?
How will we know this? Not God talking.
When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, mm-hmm. if the thing follow not, nor come to pass.
If it doesn't come to pass.
That is the thing which the Lord has not spoken.
Yes.
When the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him.
Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Mm. So that is one. Secondly, it must not be contrary to the word.
Amen.
It must not be contrary to the word. I think these are the primary ways of knowing what revelation is. But also, this same word also tells us that when the revelation is given, which is prophecy, thus said the Lord, that 1 Corinthians chapter 14.
Yes, sir. Say defy comforts. Yes, sir.
Three things it must achieve.
Okay. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification.
One, it must edify.
And exhortation.
It must exhort.
And comfort.
And it must comfort. You see, if you are given a revelation and it is not comforting, then what is the purpose? God is not interested in keeping us, you know, in anxiety, in producing fear. You know, the purpose of revelation is to comfort you, to give you peace, the desired peace you are looking for. And, you know, you are undergoing stress, difficulties, anxieties, depression. Then he comes with the revelation to comfort you. And I have spoken this several times. You know, particularly those of you who anxiously call to tell me, Pastor, gifts have started in our ministry. Gifts. We now have gifted brethren. Be careful. I have been with gifted people for the past 22 years of this church. And I have learned a lot, enough to counsel you pastors and children of God worldwide. If the only gift you are having in your church is, thus said the Lord, my people, hey, I am with you, hey, I am. Be very watchful, Pastor, on that gift. Be very, very watchful. Satan impersonates that gift the most.
Wow.
Satan, agenda to scatter that fellowship comes the most through that gift of prophecy. Now, the office of a prophet is different from the gift of prophecy in 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
That's right.
Thus said the Lord, if you like, fall down and be speaking. If you like, lie down. If you like, be dancing. If you like, be jumping. If you like, be scattered everywhere. Whichever way you are doing it, does not give me evidence that you are speaking from God. What I am watching out for is, what are you saying? So that we note down whether it will come to pass or not, or whether it is scriptural or not, whether it is going to create confusion or it's going to create edification, comfort, and
exhortation.
It is exhorting us. And also, I also watch that you are not coming to waste our time. Because there are people that, kind of people that want to use that as opportunity to pass personal kind of messages to the church.
Wow.
And then they're speaking their mind and then making it look as if they're speaking in the spirit. So we need a lot of wisdom. Thus said the Lord. My son, maybe one sister is interested in one brother. They see one other sister going there. If I don't take time, the guy will come out. Imagine that when I'm hoping. Thus said the Lord. Or it may even be that person is having problem with that sister, that brother is going to. So it's how to scatter that relationship. Thus said the Lord to my servant, illuminate that one. You have your eye. the one that prepares perfect for you. The one is not the one. It's not the one. My son, my son, I will give you your wife. Mm. Says the Lord. And then, vibrating. Hey! Be very, very careful. Before you know what, they will use that gift to run the church, to administer the church.
Wow.
Thus said the Lord, before I accept you as a prophet, before I accept you as a prophet, number one, by the grace of God that God has given me, He lets me know that you have a gift. He always know. But even if I don't know, before I will say you are a prophet and direct somebody to you to pray for, is that you have given me messages that have come to pass without controversy. You didn't know about it, you spoke it and it came to pass. Then I will say you have a gift.
Okay.
And it must have happened once, twice, three times, then I confirm you. Then when you speak, I will fear.
Okay.
That God has spoken. Because Satan can use that and mess you up. I'm sorry, I'm using this opportunity to let the world know this, because everywhere now is prophecy. And so many of you that link up to us, some of you places I have visited, I always, you know, minister the Holy Ghost. And then because of the teaching, a lot of manifestations have come up. And the idea of, like, you know, one person, it happens mostly with the sisters. That spirit comes mostly with the sisters. Since they are not allowed to preach, then they will pass the word through, thus said the Lord. You know, one person, one woman will hold the church for the next 20 minutes, and then it's talking, and then it's talking. If you want to preach, come on, tell me you have a message now. What's your message? And then that, my servant, and then we finish here. And then my son, we go to another one. My daughter, then one by one. Nothing like that, oh. Nothing like that. If it's in my ministry, I will speak peace upon that woman. They don't do. And I will call that person in my office and say, what kind of revelation are you giving? You are holding us. You don't want us to continue with the service.
Sir, are you saying such a gift manifestation prophecy should not be too long?
Do you know what it means, thus said the Lord? Give your message and go and not to come and admonish us under thus said the Lord.
Okay, so when we have somebody jumping from one person to the other, under thus said the Lord.
Under thus said the Lord, you are not making the sermon, you're not saying anything, you're just saying, be careful.
So I've seen that.
I am not happy. Adam, I have come to lift you up. Ye shall not go down again. And now, are you, all that call is coming.
Okay, we have a caller.
Okay, let me hear you, Netherlands, from Netherlands.
Hello, Shalom, Pastor. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Brother Christian.
I was listening to a message by Brother Abraham.
Okay.
And he was citing the children of the world. And in that message, he emphasized on the characteristics of a Christian bride. And then he made a statement. In that statement, he said, if a man should settle for less, it shows he has fallen from grace. Now, I'm trying to reconcile that with the situation and apply it today, especially in my scenario, because I'm looking for a Christian wife. And in a situation where you meet ladies who believe in holiness but lack character, and somehow believe that holiness kind of like is a cloak for the lack of character. And then you also meet, on the other side, ladies who seem to have character but lack this component of holiness. How do you navigate this? Because that, for me, it's a confusing scenario at this point.
Now, thank you very much. Now, Brother Christian, I want, if you are still hanging online, just listen to me.
I have a second question. Okay,
let's hear your second question.
Okay, and the second question, it was a follow-up on the question from a brother from Cameroon you just responded to, and he was talking of his fellowship that he left. And for me, I have a similar situation, but even the church I used to go to, it was an end time message. But the truth was, I sincerely could not refer any scripture from what I knew. But then I was going to this. But at some point, I decided maybe to go to I really could not go on there. Really think somehow that a fish kind of situation that right now I don't go to an interview. But I would not see the authority. And there's.
But Christian, we're not here.
I'm not able to find one.
Okay. Now, your last question first. Let me try to make a comment on that. Your scenario is different from the brother from Cameroon. Okay. The brother from Cameroon, they actually gathered. A few of them came together to gather for the purpose of Bible study, their own little fellowship. After hearing the truth, they all believed the same thing, left wherever they left from, and decided to gather. But what it discovered was that they were shifting away from the focus on the purpose of the gathering. But in your own case, what you are doing is exactly what the Word of God now expects you to do. Wherever you are and the Word of God is compromised there, you leave that place. Wherever you are and you are not fed spiritually, you leave that place. Amen. Wherever you are, you don't find true fellowship, you leave that place. You don't compromise your spiritual estate.
Amen.
So what you have done now is I continually keep praying that God will lead you to where you can meet brethren of like faith, like understanding, like revelation, and then you, so that you can fellowship together. Because what is fellowship? Like William Branham put it, he said, two fellows in a ship. Where there's no fellowship, that boat will never get to its destination. So we have to take note of it. Your first question is
choosing to be bright.
The character and holiness. I want you to note that holiness is an integral part of character. So you cannot say you have character but no holiness. Then you are holy but no character. Holiness encompasses, it's a product of a character. It's an identification of character. It's a display of character. It's part of display of character. Holiness is an obedient posture. Humility, obedience to God. And if you obey God, live a life pleasing before God, then you will hear that God telling you to also reflect me in your character. So you cannot separate, they are not separable. You can't get one and lose one. No. That would be what will Abraham call sticking the feathers. You don't stick feathers. No. Thank you very much.
I want to ask a follow-up question to this question, because it seems to be my sheep, single brothers.
Why?
Okay, there's a sister and she seems spiritual, she prays, she fears God, she seems very spiritual, and then maybe she gets angry easily, maybe she's not jovial, no, maybe she sticks to herself, and then this other one might not be as spiritual, but she's lively, joyful, and all that is, you know, so... What we won't say is one only and the other is not.
When you talk character,
yes, sir.
You know, you don't mistake introvertial nature with extroversial
nature. Okay.
And then don't mix them.
Okay.
We have various natures. Mm. You know, that somebody is. Higher, up and down, you know, and then another one keeps to herself. Now, it all depends on you making your choice. What kind of character, I mean, what kind of attitude you can do with, okay. You know. I don't think it is part of the, consideration when you want to talk of character. Mm-hmm. Now, it is now on the individual. Can you... what your nature is. An introversion person, for instance, you and then coming in relationship with an extroversion person. You know, now there has to be a compromise. You know, the introversion, usually the introversion person does not have problem. It is the extroversion person that has problem because you want to force that one to be like you. You know, the introversial person wants, just leave me, let me be on my own. You can live your own life, you know. So that is where the compromise, you know, comes in.
Okay, sir.
You know, and I don't know why that would be anything important if everybody plays their role in the marriage.
Okay.
I mean, in the relationship. Well, you know, this one is soon angry. You say, the truth about it is that the introversial personality, anger is a defense to keep him or her in his introversial estate. So it scares you, leave me alone, because he already wants to be left alone always. So you're coming too much around the person, if that anger is displaying, it's a self-defense to protect a nature. People look at it and think it is sin. It is not sin.
Hmm.
Because an introversial person does not intrude into people's affairs and does not want you to come, you know. So you have to learn such a character and blend it with yours, the extroversial person, and then you have a good, wonderful relationship. They are always harmless.
Wow.
Extroversial people are more harmful.
Seriously, sir?
Yes. Than introversial, you know, people. They are more, because a part of being an extroversial character is a busybody. Don't keep to yourself. They always do things to affect another person.
Hmm.
And so it can be negative, it can be positive.
Wow.
God bless you.
Ah, you see why we need to ask the pastor. He has also put my eyes of understanding to something interesting now. Okay, more questions coming in. Good evening, Pastor. Once saved, always saved. Is once saved, always saved scriptural? Or the Agai from Zambia?
Yes. Once saved, ever saved. Ephesians 4:30 explains it.
Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:30 says,
yes.
And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
The day of redemption. Colossians 1:27.
To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles.
What's the mystery?
Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
And how does Christ come in you? By confession?
Mm-hmm.
By what?
Baptism of the Holy Ghost.
That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Verse 13.
Verse 13.
For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body.
No. So, if I will ask you from a brother from Zambia, once your father gives birth to you, do you ever remain his
son?
His son? Is there a stage where you will cease to be his son? Answer me, then you will understand that once you are saved by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are forever saved. Mm-hmm. And what is salvation? Is the act of receiving eternal life. And what is eternal life? It's a life without end.
Mm.
So if it is going to end, then it is not eternal life.
Amen.
And so the Holy Ghost is the eternal life that God gives us. Once saved, forever you are saved. If you thought you were saved, and at the end you see yourself in hell, it means you were not saved.
Amen.
So I want you to take note of that. Let's see the next question.
Okay. Shalom, Daddy. Why is the Holy Ghost highly esteemed? That if one blasphemes against him, the person won't be forgiven, both year and year after. But the name of Jesus is higher than any other name. In my opinion, I think that Jesus should have been given that position, not the Holy Ghost.
Sister Peace from Finland, if you are really watching us, listen very well. The name of Jesus is higher than the Holy Spirit. That's what you are saying. What you are actually saying, for instance, is the name of Moses is higher than Moses himself.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you are saying.
Without Moses, there will not be the name.
Without Moses, without Moses, there will be no name.
That's right, sir.
I have to exist first before the name comes.
Amen.
So if Moses ceases to exist, the name too will cease to exist.
Amen.
You know. So, and the Holy Ghost and Jesus is one and the same person.
Amen.
You have to understand that.
Yes, sir. I think she's a Trinitarian from her question.
So maybe you are a Trinitarian believer. So that doctrine of three persons in one God is a wrong doctrine. It's an unscriptural doctrine. It is actually one God in three offices.
Amen. And
not
amen.
Not three persons in
amen
one
God. Hallelujah.
And if you get our message with title Understanding the Godhead or
Who is Jesus,
and this is explained, or the appearing of God. These are all amen message titles. And another one, Who is Melchizedek?
Amen and amen.
All this will give you a picture.
Clear understanding.
Yes. So now why you have to understand why Jesus made that
statement.
A statement. In Matthew chapter 12.
Yes, sir.
And
verse 31.
Yes.
Wherefore I say unto you,
yes,
all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men.
Yes.
But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost,
yes,
shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come.
That is the reason why we have a perfect example in the Old Testament about Moses. Remember that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Apostle Paul referred to that rock, that water came out
as Christ.
Christ.
Amen.
That is a type of Christ. That's what it means.
Mm.
It's a type of Christ.
Amen.
The fountain of living water.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And he was with them in the wilderness as he is with us now in the journey from earth
to glory.
To glory.
Amen.
And what he says is that when the people were thirsty, so the solution for their tests to be taken care of was to strike the rock in the wilderness. And water came out. A type of Christ for abundant life, for our healing, for our test. He was stricken on the cross, smitten on the cross. They struck him on the cross, and blood and water
came out
from him.
Hallelujah.
Now, Moses came up later, and under the same situation, he was this time told to speak to the rock, and the same water will come out.
Amen.
He instead stroke, because Christ cannot be crucified two times.
Hallelujah.
This time now, only ask. Have a relationship with him. Only ask. Don't strike him again. And that is why Moses was not allowed to enter the promised land, physically speaking. It's to teach us. So here we are. Christ came, abusing, insulting, do whatever you want to do. That is what he came for.
Amen.
After he has paid the price of redemption and he shouted, "It is finished." Then he now goes and comes now in his second office, building and leading his church. What he has purchased, the purchase price was that blood that came with that water.
Amen.
And now you want to do to him the same way you did. What happened to Moses? What will happen to him? It is not forgivable.
Amen.
That's why the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is not forgivable. So be careful to call Christ again, moving in his church, Beelzebub, devil. Out of jealousy, out of envy, that the Pharisees were doing.
Amen.
If you do it out of ignorance, no problem. You are not even part of it anyway. But if you do it out of envy, out of jealousy, not envy. No, envy, not jealousy.
Not jealousy.
Out of envy. We have gotten the meaning of jealousy. Yeah,
amen.
We can be jealous.
Yes, sir.
We can be jealous.
Yes, sir.
There's godly jealousy.
God is a jealous God.
There's even godly jealousy.
That's right.
In 1 Corinthians chapter
2 Corinthians 11
says, you know,
godly jealousy. I mean, jealous about so, godly jealousy.
So we have to understand that. But envy is envy.
No godly
envy.
And
you begin to mess up with that God, with that Holy Ghost. We are finished. It will not be our portion in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you so much, sir. More wisdom. Shalom, sir. This is Sister Favor from Ghana. My question goes like this, sir. All these prophetess that use familiar spirits but then don't know they are operating through such, can they make heaven? Is there anything wrong with some direction of some prophets selling pillows and waters in the church?
Selling pillows. kudos and water. We are not to sell anything at all for healing, for deliverance, for anything. You know, we are not. We are not to sell it as a solution.
That's right.
No, no, no. We are not to do it. We are not to do it. It is wrong. Freely we give and freely we receive. You know, there is this explanation. You know, people try to justify their evil. You know, sometimes, you know, there is this explanation they give that they are trying to raise funds thereby for the work of the ministry. It's wrong. You know you are wrong. You know it. Walk within the limit that God has given you. Don't help God. If God gives you the ability to minister only within, you know, your compound, limit it there. If you have money now to go to bus stop, take motor, go to anywhere, that's okay. To buy megaphone, to reach out to more people, go ahead. Don't start a ministry, you know, without finance. You are hoping that you will raise finance and then you go to television. You know you are going to spend millions every month. Then you are there, say, so that we'll be able to keep the gospel going on television. Therefore, let's sell items. It's wrong.
Amen.
And also, don't, you should don't help God.
That's right.
But most of them is just merchandising. That's the Bible said they will do it. So it's wrong.
Amen. Yeah, the first question says, these prophetesses that use familiar spirits, can they make heaven?
And they don't know it.
And they don't know it.
The reason you go to heaven is not because you prophesy.
Amen.
So whether you give wrong prophecy or false prophecy, it's not the reason why you go to hell or you go to heaven. The only reason you go to heaven is because you have received eternal life.
Amen.
Through the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And if the spirit that is in you is the Holy Ghost will not allow a familiar spirit to come, you know.
Amen.
But if he won't dwell in your temple with his familiar spirit, God has purchased you.
Amen.
So if that person is truly a Christian, it's very easy to know that you have a wrong spirit interfering with your spiritual life.
Amen.
Familiar spirit, number one, identification of a familiar spirit. Number one identification, I repeat, number one identification, write it down. They will mention the problem, but no solution.
Wow, Rema.
No solution, no solution.
Okay.
You know, and I have said this several times, and that is where God reserved. He reserved that aspect to show the difference between the fake and the original.
Amen.
So take note. And but he gave solution. Which type of solution? If the solution he gives you is pray. Make sure you pray very well. He said, have you not been praying?
Amen.
Okay. Pray 4 days, 7 days. Do it. But if after that the problem doesn't go, don't near that prophet or prophetess again. Wrong. He has made you to starve for punishment for nothing.
I mean, so I have a lot of familiar spirits in Christendom today.
Yeah, in fact, they are more in number than the original ones. When you hear them telling you, bring candle, bring this. When you hear, they have a language. They work, have work to do. You know, that is a babalawo. That is a medium. That is a voodoo man. He's telling you, work. Which work? The work has been done on the cross on Calvary.
Amen.
Already.
Amen.
He tells you, do dry fasting. Do it now. But if after you've done it, the problem increases, then run away.
Amen.
So, will they go to heaven? There is no wrong spirit that will take you to heaven anyway.
Amen.
The familiar spirit has come to lead you to hell. So,
Okay, we'll take another short break. And when we come back, we'll continue our interesting Bible study. We'll be right back.